Eric Bordelais, who is based in Normandy, France, and is absolutely renowned for his ciders. He exports probably about 75% of his ciders out of the country, if I recall correctly. And one of the, I'm going to say, myths about the man is that he is not so willing to share how he makes cider. But in my experience of knowing Eric for a number of years now, I find him very forthcoming, and he loves cider so much. So once you get him talking, it's just a win-win all the way around. And this week, I'm going to be sharing with you a little glimpse of my experience with Eric on a Totally Cider tour to France, because in just a few months, we'll be heading back that way again on a French cider tour. And one of our special guests on the tour will be Eric Bordelais. Hey, 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 my name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. Welcome to Cider Chat. If you are new to this here podcast, you're in for a treat because there's over 300 episodes in the archive page. You could find that at ciderchat.com. Just look on the little, you know, scroll bar. You know how to search that on a website, right? You know, you just look for podcast and then you'll see season one through season seven and enjoy all the photos of people that have been on the podcast and their stories. It's magnificent. There's been probably about 20 different countries now, nearly every state in the U.S., talking about cider making techniques, fermenting with cultured yeast, wild yeast, dealing with cider when it didn't go quite right. What is that about? What is happening there? You'll find episodes on pears or peripears, quince, medlars, and sorbus domestica, all of which are fruiting trees, all related to the apple in terms of being in the same family of rosacea. So that means that is a lot of fruit. That is a lot of people who might just be like working with one particular fruit tree, or as in France, they kind of like work with them all. And that's why we're going there this coming September. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. But in the meanwhile, I'm going to take a break right now, come back, and give a little shout out and thank you to some wonderful folks who help keep this podcast on the air.
Strange apples, juicy ripe.
Cider Chat is listener supported, and that means that you out there in Ciderville, if you find value from this podcast, you have a couple options on how to help keep it on the air. One is to hit the donate button at ciderchat.com and decide at what level you could support it. And then there's also the Cider Chat Patreon page, which is an offsite website that helps content creators like myself continue to do the work that we're doing. And there are a number of different tiers that you could join at. One particular tier is called the Cider Going Up Campaign, and that's specific to commercial makers and folks in the cider trade. So I'd like to tip my hat and tip my glass to the following producers. One is Ross-on-Wye Cider and Perry Company, based in Ross-on-Wye in the UK, and they are just an absolute must-visit in that cider region. One sip of Ross-on-Wye will make you swoon for more. And upcoming later this summer is the Ross Cider Fest. I've attended it. It is a must-go. It's kind of a mecca event. You must go to the Ross Cider Fest, meet John the Cider Maker, meet the Johnsons. You have Mike and Albert kind of holding the helm there at the farm, and just an incredible scene. And then Martin, the younger brother, oh my goodness, he's running the U-Tree Pub. And it's just like the whole trifecta right there. Fantastic. And then we also have, also in the UK, Duck Chicken, based in London. And that would be Colleen and James. They have a little flat in the south of London. They're producing cider there with their little cat Piccadilly. It's insane, but they do it, and they do it well. So Tip of the hat to you both. Good folks. We also have coming back on this side of the pond, Spacetime Mead and Cider Works. That's based in Dunmore, Pennsylvania. And Dan is a cider maker there. In fact, Dan's going to be coming on the French Cider Tour. Can't wait to hang out with him for a week. I'm going to probably spontaneously combust on that. The guy's a fantastic cider maker. He makes cider, mead, and wine. And just a joyful person, and joyful people make good cider. So check them out, the store location right there in Dunmore, Pennsylvania. It's near Scranton. Easy on and off at the highway there. Check it out. I have a link here. We also have Esoterra Cider, and Esoterra is out in the four corners of the U.S., and that's the area of Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, and Utah. And that is a delicious place to visit. And what they're doing there, you got to follow them on Instagram. Make it your destination on your next road trip cross country. Fly in maybe to Grand Junction or Denver. Take the ride out there. Go. Maybe flying into Santa Fe. Not a long distance trip to get there. And I'm just loving everything that I'm seeing. They've won a lot of awards. Esoterra in Dolores, Colorado. Then coming a little bit further to the east again, we have Taddy Bogle Cider Works. And Taddy Bogle is in Acme, Pennsylvania. And besides being a region that is just spectacular, it's western Pennsylvania, it's right outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. What they're doing at Taddy Bogle with Kurt there at the helm, working with his brothers, a wonderful tasting room, a nice outdoor scene overlooking the valley below. And nice cider. Ask him for his special select ciders, too. You might be lucky enough to check that out. We're going to head back out west again and thank the folks at Olympic Bluffs Cidery in Washington State. Now, this is both Scott and Ginger, and they are going to be also coming on the French Cider Tour with me. And they are so fun-loving and just really outstanding people. And the location that they have at Olympic Bluffs Cidery is absolutely spectacular. So definitely put them in your must watch, must visit booklet, whatever that is, your little black book. I don't know. It might be your social media app, Olympic Bluffs Cidery. And a big tip of the glass to the American Cider Association, which always is doing something to help propel cider forward in the U.S., and in turn, that helps cider worldwide. There's a number of different tiers that you could join the association. Check them out at ciderassociation.org. And finally, I want to just give a big thank you and shout out to Insider Japan, Japan's first and only bilingual magazine dedicated to all things cider. And wouldn't you know it, today of all days, I opened up the mail and here was the summer and spring edition for 2022 from Insider Japan. And it is rocking. There's some great news here on the Global Cider Connect initiative. And then there's also some news on a British pub, a brewery there. I consider Insider Japan to be like the Lonely Planet for cider fans. It has so much information, all these different places to go to. It just gives you a tap into the world. And it's in English, making it easy to maneuver in. And you have an on-site person specializing in ciders, making a subscription to Insider Japan an absolute no-brainer, right? Because it will keep you in the loop. And that's what it's all about. Nobody wants to be out of the loop. And one final statement on this particular issue. Well, they always are mentioning Cider Chat. And in this issue, they're talking about the Calvados and American Apple Brandy Tasting. And that was episode 208. With brandy and cider expert Ambrosia Borowski from Chicago and myself presenting in 2019 at Cider Days. So good stuff. Thanks again to all these commercial makers and folks in the trade and to all the patrons of Cider Chat who donate as you can and just you help lift me up and in turn help cider continue to stay in the news and in the spotlight every week on this here podcast. Thank you so much. And you out there in Ciderville, if you haven't yet joined the Cider Chat Patreon page or hit the donate button, you can too. All the links are in the show notes at ciderchat.com. This coming September is a French cider tour. We begin in Paris and then head out to Normandy and then down to Brittany and return back to Paris. And this tour, over the course of the week, will be visiting 8 different cider makers, including also the Musée de Poix, which is the museum dedicated to Perry pears. That was refurbished and updated, I believe it is like 2016. And we'll also be visiting the Musée du Cidre, and that is in Brittany, and that was just updated in 2018. So two little museums there with gift shops and the ability to get even more local products from makers who we might not necessarily be visiting along the tour. Because as you might imagine, there are a lot of producers in this region, and it could be a little overwhelming if you're there your first time traveling on your own. And even when you have a plan, sometimes the producers aren't there if you haven't made prior arrangements to stop by. So in this case, this entire tour is curated where you have time to drop, you have solo time, you're able to go out to dinner on your own for some of the time, but most of the dishes, you don't have to worry about that. You're able to enjoy the whole day and have dinner and then have that little bit of time to like check out the scene and drop into France. Maybe grab a bottle that you have and bring it down to the water and just enjoy the sunset. So many good things ahead. I could go wax poetically about this constantly, and I will. Anyways, one of the folks that we're going to be visiting is Eric Bordelais, and we'll have a special dinner with him at a Michelin star restaurant and, of course, be enjoying some of his amazing products. Eric has been on this podcast many times, and as I mentioned earlier, he kind of has this kind of mystique around him, and folks find him a little unapproachable. And I would say that's true because it's very difficult to get to see Eric. He has told me numerous times that every day he gets like hundreds of emails requesting his attention. And it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. I know there's a number of cider makers who are really high on the popularity level for sure. And he is one of them. And as such, he's trying to also work on a transition piece for his cidery. And his son, Julian, has stepped on, has been working with him for the past 5 years. So that's also another rare piece of this tour because, you know, just in the time of 2 years ago, one cidery has now sold and they've turned it over to a younger, if you will, maker and farmers. And that is what we're seeing. No one wants to work forever. It's a lot of work and it's a lot of pressure. And I think Eric is in that same path where he is looking for his like long-term plan here. And part of that is to work with his son and really educate him and bring him along. I'd like to say to you that if you go to France, you'll be able to meet Eric Bordelais, but that is not a given. And so this is a great opportunity if this has been one of the people on your bucket list, and it wouldn't surprise me if it is, this is a great opportunity for that. So what we're going to be hearing is a snippet that I recorded while on a tour. It's actually the full audio is at the Cider Chat Patreon page, and it is public. So you could go to that page and search for Eric Bordelais, the post, and hear more about it, where he was talking about how he does some fining with the cider. And it's a little bit less edited than what I'm going to give you here, but it's a little bit of a longer version of us hanging out with him. We were outside at his cidery, kind of standing in the sun. It was a September 2, beautiful day, beautiful weather. That's one of the reasons why I go in September. And we just kind of got into it, talking about cider making. And in this clip here, what you're going to be hearing, and I think to kind of zone in on it, because I know that it might be difficult to understand, he's talking about his approach to cider styles. And it really syncs on how he is describing styles on his website. So if you go to ericbordelais.com, you'll see that he describes some of the ciders as gastronomic. And that is a particular style that he's approaching. There's some that he makes more for like a general, less astute drinker. In fact, he even mentions that people don't know about Perry. And so he makes his own decisions there based on the palate. And I think he is absolutely right. I think, you know, you got to work with what you have, right? There's, you know, only so many Perry pear trees out there, especially in some regions of the world. And many spots, there's like none at all. And also, folks are drinking a lot of what is called pear cider. It's pears mixed with apples. That is a whole different beast. versus Poi or Perry. And it really is different from France to England. In England, you're going to have more of the tannic profile. In France, you're going to have less of the tannic profile. Both will have a certain bit of funk in it, which I adore. Both are extremely fantastic. I don't think one country has it over the other. And both have very old Peri Pear trees. But just kind of honing into France right now, what he knows, and this is so true, folks do not understand it and how it tastes. And that's the beauty of going on this tour, because we are going to be drinking a lot of Peri and having the opportunity to like really dive into that. We'll be at the Peri Museum, the Musée de Poix, so you'll be able to get a lot at the gift shop there. They sell a whole bunch of product. We'll be able to taste the Calvados, which is made with Peri, primarily Peri in Domfronté. And then we're going to be visiting Pacari, which is an outstanding Poire domain in Domfronté. Again, I'll talk about them next week. And then being with Eric, and for his, a lot of people rave about his Peri because it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible, and it's unique. It's really different than what you're going to find in the U.S. I haven't found any Peri in the U.S. that compares. It's just not. It just doesn't work that way. And folks who think they know French cider, you don't until you actually go to France. I'm sorry, but you don't. You have to be there. What is being sent over does not compare. And I could even say that about some of the Bordelais that I've had, because I don't want to get into it. I know I've talked about it in another podcast, but essentially, sometimes it just doesn't ship so well. And I've gotten Argolette from Bordelais, and it was off. It was not right. And that is the worst thing possible. Until you know, you don't know. So that's my two cents about it. You have to go out to these sites. I don't care how many different degrees you have or how many certifications. It don't mean nothing if you're just getting out of the book. You have to go to the site. That's my feeling about it. And I'm sure if Eric is listening right now, he would say, oui. Let's go to this little piece here. We begin, we're going to be standing outside the cidery. He's going to talk about the difference between apples and pears and talking about the pH. So why not grab that glass and join this chat with Eric Bordelais of Normandy, France.
Some apple, it's no problem because good acidity and pH is good and it's okay. Yeah. But if you use complicated apple, sometimes the good one, so like you prefer, and that complicates your juice and it's difficult to clear, mm-hmm. to get mm-hmm. clear. Mm-hmm. Try. I've tried 15 years and some vintage, it's wrong. Mm-hmm. Every vintage we discover, so we have to adapt it. We do a small improvette, like a laboratoire.
Right.
Every year, yeah. To see if it's okay this year. And most of the time, we have to change the commandite, la recette, enfin le...
The recipe?
La quantité, là.
The consistency.
Oui, c'est ça. Là, comment dire?
The blend? Or...
Il faut qu'on recherche, en fait, quelle quantité va faire l'action de collage.
OK, so you have c'est to...
La quantité de la bentonite, on va dire, des produits qui font le collage, il faut qu'on vérifie l'efficacité chaque année et la quantité... Du produit, quoi.
Okay, so the main work is to focus like the best quantity for the bentonite. Actually,
always adjusting
how much
that.
Right. Yeah. Right. So he uses a cylindrical test tube to test what the percentage of bentonite he uses in the bigger batch.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But then we don't do this on a big vat, because every time we have a small part. We press maybe 3,000 liters each day, but no more, because the harvest goes slowly by hand.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a long way, and usually 3 months the harvest, but this last year and this year it's 2 months. We have to do the work in 2 months that we used to do in 3 months. So it's stress, complicated. But the weather is like this, every day like this.
Yeah, it's hard.
Complicated for arboriculture. It's a shame because the springtime it was very wet and very lot of rain.
Yeah.
The trees were brilliant.
Yeah.
And after stress, stop everything. Yeah. So it's complicated.
Our area too.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
wet.
Every state?
No.
No.
Okay.
California very dry the whole time.
Right.
Yeah.
And fire.
And fire.
But it's changing. It's all changing all over the place. So we don't know.
Well, so
it's
that's
not
why
good.
You have to build up yourself with many try and capable.
Able to shift, to change.
Yeah.
To react.
Flexible.
That's why it's interesting to be a smaller company.
Yes. Be adjustable.
And one person decide.
Yeah.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
It's problem when you get sick or you get old. It's only one person. So. In 2001, so after 10 years experiment, someone broke my legs at football. So I never would write anything, so I was worried. And from this time, I used to play football with Jean-Michel. But he came work with me after a second guy. And now there is my son now, the 3 and 4. So the first 10 years creation after... stabilization after transmission.
Transmission. To make sure you convey what you know.
Not necessarily.
No.
Voilà, c'est ça. It's
intergenerational, it's all, transfer of business.
It's always the worry doing. And
yes, we.
Voilà. Okay, so after 24 hours after most of time, after press 24 hours, preparing, not 25, not 26, 24 sometimes. It's crazy. So that's why it's interesting to control temperature. I like to control temperature, not so low, but not so high. Voilà, 5 to 12 maxi. But here, with my juice, okay? Voilà. After the débourbage, okay, this vintage, we try a new system of filtration. Instead of to use clay now, We try a porcelain. C'est des assiettes
porcelain.
De
porcelain.
We could say like this. It's des assiettes comme ça.
It's like a plate of porcelain.
Voilà.
Yes.
And it's a new system.
Yes.
But I think it's more precise.
Right.
But broke one plate last year. Mm. It's fucking expensive.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's, we will see what's happened. But I think... And still control temperature, because when you filter, you just have to know you can go up quickly your temperature. And I don't like when it's going more than 10, 12, because the flavor change, and it's more like a compote. You understand compote? Marmalade.
Like
the flavor is changed, it doesn't stay on the fruit.
Like smash apples. Right.
But compote means...
jammy.
Oui, c'est
jammy,
marmalade, quoi, compote.
Yeah.
Not completely cooked, but just between, you know.
Okay.
The fruits stay.
Yeah.
The sun, 50 degrees, for me, the flavor is changing, so it's not good. That's why the harvest, sometimes we don't take something on the sun. It's complicated because you leave all the fruit on the sun and you take, well,
the shade.
Anyway.
Pay attention to it all.
Voilà. So, alors, after... filtration, a big filtration, we can say, the yeast start to work and the natural fermentation starts. Okay? After every 2 days, you have to control the speed of your fermentation, like milk, you know, you have to take care. And because in 8 days, 10 days, it could be all fermented, so you have to follow. And to, if it's going too fast, I'm doing a soupirage, decantation. Or I'm action with the temperature. Voilà. I like when it's during a long time. The problem when we do the winter arrive in December, January, sometimes it's very cold and stop your fermentation. And I don't like when it's like this because after acidity volatile, the bacteria are working and it's not so good. So it's difficult to find the balance, but I don't like when the fermentation is stopped. I don't like when it's too fast, because but I prefer too fast than
stuck.
Stop 2 weeks.
Yeah.
1 month. Two.
Stuck.
Right.
It was stuck.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, sorry. It's need to. Anyway, you have to maybe develop your own strong yeast.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think Pied Cuve like you do in the wine.
Yeah.
But anyway, after. I could explain about the. I have two different styles of cuvée, gastronomie cuvée and thirsty cuvée. So I explain about the thirsty cuvée. Tendre, brut tendre, and brut. In December, I blend the vat from September, October, November in a big one. During the fermentation of each, sometimes the September, October, of course, very slow and very stop sometimes slowly to wait for the end for the vat from the end to have a blend of which or cidre between juice and tendre, maybe 2 degrees, 3 degrees alcohol. After 2 weeks, after the beginning of the fermentation of the big vat, I take one part to make cidre doux, sweet cider. I stop fermentation. We put it in a vat to get very low the temperature to stop fermentation and to keep maximum of CO2. And in a closed way, we do this until the filling machine, cork, and the cage, the muselet. So 2 months after, of course, the fermentation is continue. 2 months after. It's demi-sec, brut tendre, we said. We do bottled. And 2 more months, the rest should be the brut. I explain like this, but of course I never leave a vat with air. Okay? But the thirsty cider, even sweet or dry, is the same balance to the beginning. Because for me, it's dommage, it's a shame to do a cidre doux with only sweet side, with sweet apple, because no acidity, no tannin, it's too sugar. For me, it's not so good. It's only me, and it's me. Maybe if you have a sweet apple with all balance, a good balance, it's okay. But I said that because sometimes in Normandy, in Brittany, they make sweet cider with sweet apple only. I like when I taste everything with a good balance. After, that is gastronomie cuvée, it's I have maximum 2 vat. It's maximum variété. I use the same quantity of each variété. The difference it should be the weather, the vintage. That's why I like in the gastronomie cuvée to build up the balance with the same quantity each year of each variété. I build up the balance, something regular. And you can compare the vintage like this. Mm-hmm. That's why. That's why there is numbers on the palette to be sure, because sometimes we don't know the variety, or Jean-Michel doesn't know all the varieties.
It's brilliant.
And, the juice is always the same.
Balance, voilà.
Percentage-wise.
C'est ça. The difference, it's the vegetable, the acidity, the weather, sunny vintage, cold vintage is more discret, finesse. And after, when it's sunny, it's more honey, it's more, voilà. So, the same for Poire et Granit, those gastronomic cuvées, apple or pear, the same balance every year of fruit, okay? And the rest of the fruits to make the thirsty cuvée. The thirsty cuvée has many varieties, but not the same quantity of each, we take the rest. Voilà. Here, it's like this. It's my palette, it's like this, I prefer, like this, voilà. I have the thirsty Perry, it's a Poiret authentique, or the same, different vat, I blend. And most of the time, the Perry or the gastronomic cuvée, it's never said brut, sweet, or demi-sec. It's just, comment on dit, imposé, j'impose l'équilibre.
Well, he decides what kind of balance he wants to have, so it's just the way...
I don't leave the choice to people, because... Perry, people doesn't know too much, so I said, for me, I decided for this vintage, this is the balance. So, mm-hmm. But it's because Perry was not so new at the beginning, but Perry, for me, is if it's some variety, maybe could be interesting to taste as a dry Perry, but for my palate, my perfume, not interesting. Mm-hmm. So, some questions about because.
I'm wondering if we should maybe move out of the sun for some of these folks here. Just
wait.
Just out of the. Is that okay? I'm just noticing people in the sun. Everybody okay? You know I'm like
hot,
a mother hen. And also, we want to watch our time,
too. We go after.
Okay.
What time is it?
C'est 5h moins 5. Il faut qu'on parte à 5h30 maximum. Vraiment, maximum.
Yeah. We could ask you questions tonight at dinner. Okay. Bonjour. We're entering his in tasting room.
And that gives you a little sense of what it's like to visit with Eric. We will be having a cider dinner with him, and it's at a very special restaurant that also serves his ciders, his products. And then the next day, we'll be in town and able to go to a little bar that actually has Bordelais on tap, along with also selling a bunch of his different products. So, you know, it's just what I call a totally cider tour. And you could come along too. Reservations are still open. In fact, we have opened up a couple more spaces. So I'm going to be keeping reservations open until June 15th. And it will be a hard stop at that point, which means you have about 2 weeks between now and then to figure out how you could make it happen for yourself. And I know some folks are waiting to hear about their passports. It's been a bit of a logjam. So this travel, you know, at least with me, is all about de-stressing and kind of going with the flow. So hopefully this will help out some folks that have been trying to figure it out. And after June 15th, this trip will be closed and we'll set our sights on September in France. Can't wait. If you want to find out more, go to ciderchat.com, check out the Totally Cider page on the French tour, and you'll find the links to the reservation. And at this point, you'll just need to put in a deposit towards that. And we'll start getting you on board and telling you more. Really looking forward to it. And next week, we have a little bit more on this tour. And some other future episodes. We have one coming up with Apple City Cider in Kazakhstan, and a Quince, and also a Washington State Cidery. There's a lot of good episodes coming up. It just never stops amazing me what's going on out there in Ciderville. And it's so nice to have you along for the ride. And with that, I leave you here. This is Real Wind Caller, signing off. For now, looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
We like cider, we like palms, we love orchards and having fun. There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh yes, there is. There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet. We like cider. We like palms, we like orchards, having some fun.
There is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this. Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Oh yes, we do.
We like palms.
Oh yes, we do.
We love orchards, having some fun. There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this. Ba-da-da-dum. There's a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
Ba-da-da-dum. We like walking down the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh, yeah.
We like cider.
Ba-da-da-dum.
We like palms.
Oh, yes, we do.
We like orchards, having some fun.
Yeehaw!